We spoke about the Chicago situation off the top in the show. The Athletic's Katie Strang and our own Rick Westhead have been at the forefront of reporting this story. And had it not been for their tireless investigative reporting, a lot of this may not have come to light. First of all, Katie, thank you so much for your pursuit of the truth in this case. These stories aren't easy to tell. I can only imagine how much it must weigh on you to uncover these gruesome details. And in saying that, I'll warn our listeners that some of the details of this case are gruesome, and they center around sexual assault. Katie, the full report of the investigation's findings were made public yesterday. You've been covering this story for a long time. What struck you the most from this report? I know that it's a very long report, and there was a lot to unpack.
Yeah, there was quite a bit to digest, and I think it was a really heavy, difficult day for probably everyone in the hockey community. I think if you had to ask me to pinpoint one thing that really struck me, it was the way in which, you know, winning and results were clearly prioritized over, you know, the well-being, safety, and protection of players. And I think, you know, for a sport that talks about character quite a bit, I think the level of inaction and the level of regard for those things in terms of prioritizing players was shameful.
Yeah, the 2010 championship definitely feels tainted. We have a show about the Leafs, and a lot of the criticism around the Leafs team is that there's too much focus on individualism and that they don't play as a team or a unit. They don't buy in enough. The root of the problem with this whole Chicago Blackhawks case is what you just said. They chose winning at all costs, and hockey culture so often values not being a distraction over being an individual. Is this whole case just a prime example of when that culture goes too far?
You know, I think there's a lot of layers here. I think, you know, when you talk about sexual abuse in sports, and especially some of the more specific stigma when it comes to male victims of sexual abuse, there's a lot of layers, there's a lot to unpack. But I think, you know, when you take a broader look at systemic cultural issues, the thing that's really glaring to me is that, you know, there are barriers for people to feel comfortable and safe coming forward and disclosing and speaking up about you know, things that have happened to them or things that they've witnessed to others. I think we've seen a lot of examples, not just in hockey, but in other sports where, you know, players, athletes, you know, livelihoods, their dreams, their hopes, their goals are weaponized against them by predators. And, you know, that is definitely a very problematic thing. But, you know, I think we have to really focus here on the fact that there were people in positions of power and authority who had quite a bit of influence and cachet within the organization who were notified about very serious allegations and who did nothing. And I think there is probably the beginning of a reckoning happening where, you know, I think stakeholders in the sport of hockey are recognizing that's not good enough. I mean, that's derelict in your duty. It's no longer, you know, adequate to just care about the on-ice product and wins and losses. It's you have to be able to prioritize the right things, and in order to run, you know, an organization in, you know, with any conscience, you have to be respectful of the players and the people under your care.
In conversation with Katie Strang of The Athletic, I'm curious about what you think this means next for guys like Joel Quenneville and Kevin Cheveldayoff, who both had previously denied knowledge of the allegations, news, and, you know, based on the report that clearly was false information. At least Joel Quenneville seems like he knew what was going on. But news coming out of Florida today that Quenneville is going to meet with Gary Bettman tomorrow in New York. And Quenneville was speaking today, actually, with the media. And I don't know if you've heard the clip. I'm going to play it for you in just a moment. I want to get your thoughts on it.
Before we get started, I just want to let you know that tomorrow I'll be meeting with Gary Bettman. I look forward to continuing to contribute to the process. I know I respect you all doing your jobs and having your questions as well here, but I won't comment any further to the appropriate time after I meet with the commissioner.
Is that meeting here or are you flying up north?
I believe it's in New York.
Okay. Did you talk to anybody within the team today? Do you have a team meeting?
We had several little quick meetings about different subjects.
Yeah, I would assume that was one of them.
It was addressed.
Any problems you feel within the room? Do you feel like this could be a distraction? Anything of that sort?
I think we tried to eliminate all distractions, and that was one of them.
Okay, I just want to get your thoughts on that. I think that last final comment is one that didn't really quite sit well with me, knowing that that's somewhat exactly what happened back in 2010, eliminating distractions to win at all costs.
Yeah, I find that deeply troubling and problematic. And in fact, my coworker Sarah Sivian, mentioned this yesterday too. Like, characterizing this as a distraction, I think is, you know, really, really hurtful and really shows sort of the lack of understanding the severity and egregiousness of what has happened. I'll be very straightforward and unequivocal about this. If either of those two men knew about the allegations and did nothing, which the report suggests, they are not fit to lead. Mm. There's not a ton of nuance there for me. If you cannot be expected to do the right thing, even when it's hard, even when no one's looking, even when it comes, you know, at potential personal cost to you or your team, then you are not fit to lead. That's it.
Yeah, Katie, the Blackhawks were fined $2 million after reviewing the report. Just comparing it to other fines teams have been hit with, was that enough for you?
I mean, you know, when you compare it relatively, it's such a paltry amount. But, you know, I don't think, to me, even like quibbling over any sort of like monetary or fiscal punishment is kind of missing the point, which is, you know, they're... I don't think those types of punishments act as an appropriate or an effective deterrent.
Yeah.
I think for there to be a cultural shift in what we accept and what we do not accept of our leaders and our stakeholders in the hockey community, there have to be serious consequences. And so I definitely think, you know, there needs to be very clear boundaries about expectations of how people handle sexual assault, misconduct, abuse allegations. And that needs to be just the standard, the baseline of, you know, what people in positions of power are expected to do.
Yeah, and I know Stan Bowman was stepped down, which is what they're deeming it as, terming it as. I thought that his statements yesterday left much to be desired. Almost seemed like he was passing the blame onto somebody else. Just curious what your thoughts on that was, and if you think there's any future in hockey for Stan Bowman.
I'm in total agreement with you on that statement. I felt like it was lacking in introspection. I thought it was lacking in accountability.
Yeah.
And I thought it was utterly devoid of any level of empathy toward John Doe. And to me, really felt like an attempt to deflect blame onto others.
How do you think the
NHL...
And
so again, I would go back to the point, like, if that's how you handle a situation of that severity, you're not fit to lead. So in that scenario, no, I don't think you should have a future in hockey.
Yeah, I totally concur. How do you think, Katie, the NHL creates or starts to at least create an environment where they can ensure that something like this never happens again? Because we saw this kind of in the late 90s with a junior coach where it was a reckoning back then and they vowed it would never happen again. But here we are in 2021, kind of in a similar scenario. So what's the framework? How does the NHL move forward from this?
I think there have to be some built-in protections for people who want to speak up and want to escalate concerns in appropriate ways, but are worried about the potential cost to their own jobs or livelihoods, or any sort of retribution. Essentially, like, I think there need to be whistleblower protections in the NHL. And when I talk about protections here, I'm not talking about people in positions of power and authority, like senior leadership that was told, in that meeting in Chicago. I'm talking about people, you know, whose job security is much more tenuous, whose livelihoods are sort of much more on that thin razor's edge. I think we have to be able to empower and protect those to feel safe enough to speak up. And I mean, that goes, you know, for players as well. I mean, this player disclosed something very painful and personal and private and traumatic. And this is what he got as a response. Like, I can't imagine how much additional trauma he must have endured as a result of seeing people utterly fail him every step of the way.
Yep.
Katie, you've covered this story basically the whole way. You know, you're one of the people who've been on this since day one. Are you surprised, though, as to how kind of transparent Blackhawks ownership was yesterday based on how differently the organization's tune was to these allegations when it came to light back in May?
I was somewhat surprised at the level of transparency and, good for them that they did release the findings of the entirety of, you know, that investigative report. What I would have liked is if they would have done that and allowed people to process it and, allowed people to ask pertinent questions, several which I still feel like are unanswered. But I would say that's a step in the right direction and something that's timely and topical. You know, we saw Roger Goodell being asked about, the Washington football team investigation. And, there wasn't a written report produced and furnished in that instance. And so in that way, I do feel like that was a small step forward. And I hope what that is an understanding and acknowledgement that more transparency and accountability is required in the future to prevent these things from continuing to happen.
Absolutely. Katie, really, really want to thank you for joining us today.